Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. Our watchword for the week comes from Psalm 100, verse 5. The Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let us ponder that as we hear this morning's prelude. Again, welcome to worship this morning. We're glad you were here. Totally glad the air conditioning is working in here because it sure has been hot this week. As I mentioned in opening exercises this morning, my air conditioning went out twice this week, so I know how quick it can get really hot. But knock on wood, things are working right now, and hopefully they'll remain that way. Just a couple short announcements. The board will meet today after worship, and Ann, I will be joining you. I have a couple things about buildings and grounds. So the board will meet after worship today. Some of us bell ringers will rehearse after church for you know who you are. and then we'll have to bring the table in here and all that. Next week will be Father's Day. We will honor fathers, grandfathers, and people who take the fatherly role. I get the unique pleasure of ringing handbells with both of my children, so that'll be neat. We definitely invite you to come and join for that. The following week, after that, on Saturday, June the 27th, we will have a breakfast fundraiser for Michael and Cece. We hope you will come and join us. Adult plates are $10, and children 5 and under are $5. So come and eat and fellowship and support a good cause. And then later, the next morning, we're going to have a unique service. We're going to do a patriotic service celebrating God and country and our wonderful gift that he allows us to be in such a good country and worship him freely. After service that day, we will have lunch in the fellowship building with hamburgers and hot dogs and all the fixings and maybe some apple pie and ice cream and all that good stuff. So we definitely want you to join us for that. I think that's all the announcements that I have. Are there others? Well, before we begin, I want to give a couple prayer updates. Reed is away. He was supposed to be up at Laurel Ridge this week being a middle school camp counselor, but his mother's healing process from her surgery is going well, but she still needs his help, and so he has decided to not go to Laurel Ridge and to stay and help her. So he is with his mother, and you guys are stuck with me. There's that. Also, we want to continue to keep Wayne in our thoughts and prayers. I'm sure you all know that he had a fall on the ball field the other day and suffered some injuries. He is currently still in the hospital. And hopes to be moved at the first of the week to a rehab facility where he'll do some rehabbing before he is released to go home. So with that, let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we pause in this moment to lift up the two individuals we just spoke of, for Reed's mother and for Wayne and for Martha and Lauren and all that are taking care of the patients as they need. We ask that you give them healing and peace and comfort. And for the caregivers, we pray that you give them peace and energy to take care of those that they need to take care of. Father, we know that you are the great physician and that you can heal all diseases and cure all sicknesses. And so for these two individuals, we lift them up to you with full assurance that you can heal their bodies as you see fit. For this we ask in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We begin with the Liturgy for Discipleship, found on page 37. I invite you to stand. What shall we render to the Lord for all his bounty to us? We will offer to the Lord the sacrifices of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Gracious God, for revealing yourself to us as one who created all things, who gave us dominion over all the earth, who called us into a covenant relationship with you, who has given us the privilege of being your ambassadors in our world, who loves us as your children through Jesus Christ our Lord, we give you our heartfelt thanks. Jesus Christ, our Savior, because you were willing to come to earth in the likeness of humanity, to take the form of a servant, because you became obedient unto death, even death on a cross, because God has highly exalted you and bestowed on you the name which is above every name, that at your name every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that you are Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We humbly bow before you in praise and adoration.
Thank you.
Holy Spirit, for dwelling within us and calling us to God by the gospel, for preserving us in the true faith, for leading the church on earth in its mission, for pointing the way of discipleship to each of us. We acknowledge your presence and power among us. Jesus said, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. We hear your call to discipleship. Master, teach us the way we should go. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear much fruit, and that your fruit should abide. Now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." We confess, Lord, that as your disciples, we have often dishonored the holy name we bear. We ask your forgiveness for the times when we have failed to labor for your kingdom, when we have not followed your admonition to seek first the kingdom of God, when we have hidden our light from the world, when we, as the salt of the earth, have lost our strength. Have mercy on us and restore unto us the joy of faithful discipleship. Amen. The Lord, your Redeemer, has said, "With everlasting love, I will have compassion on you. Therefore, serve the Lord with gladness. witness to his goodness and mercy, and preach Jesus Christ as Lord with yourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. Let us stand. I invite the ushers to come forward as we present our tithes and offerings.
Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks to be able to come to your house and worship you. We give now a portion of the many blessings you have bestowed upon each of us. We pray that you take it and use it. Increase it for the furthering of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
First scripture reading today comes from the book of Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 8. A very familiar scripture. Oh, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Our next hymn is hymn 771, My Hope Is Built on Nothing Less. Let us remain seated as we sing this. Our gospel text today comes from the book of Matthew, the 9th chapter, verses 35 through 10:8, and continuing with 10:9 through 23. Then when Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on that day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." The word of God for the people of God, and thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Empower us to do the work that you have prepared for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, folks, I survived Synod 2026. Actually, it was a pretty good experience. I didn't have to deal with a whole lot of controversial things well until the very end, and even then, it was really minor. The Lord was with us indeed as we made history in electing Andy Williams as the president of the PEC. Not only is she the first female president, She is also the first layperson to ever be elected as president. She was elected in only 4 or 5 votes. Quickly was elected. Now, electing 3 bishops, well, that took several days. We voted and voted and voted and voted, but we did get the job done. And we elected Sister Nola Knaus and brothers Dion Christopher and John D. Reince. Looking back now, I think only one proposal was tabled. All the others were adopted. And there were a few that never hit the floor, but that's okay. And I'm sure Reed and I will share much more with you soon about what those adoptions were and what they mean for us moving forward. I mentioned Synod to you because now that it is over, we, the Synod delegates, have been sent out to implement these adoptions for the next 4 years until Synod meets again in 2030. Just like in today's passage from Matthew, there are 2 very distinctive similarities between the Synod, each of our calling by Christ, and the original 12 disciples' calling. Number 1, before we are sent out, Jesus called us in. Jesus called each of the delegates to Synod. He called each one of the disciples, and he calls each one of us by name into his presence and asks us what? He asked us to pray. To pray that we would receive workers. Jesus said that the harvest is ready. There is lots and lots of work to be done. So pray. Ask the Father to send us help. That is still true today for each of us. That is true for each of us at Synod, and certainly it was true for the disciples. Before we were sent out, we were called into his flock, and simply asked to pray. Then Jesus called each one by name and gave them a mission. Jesus called each one of the disciples from all kinds of walks of life and united them in a single mission. Some of them were tax collectors, some fishermen, some political activists. Some were educated, some were not. Jesus pulled the most unlikely and gave them the most extraordinary call. Likewise, he called each of us at Synod. For various walks of life, we all came. We came from all over the country and beyond. Some of us were from right here in Winston-Salem, while others came from Georgia, Florida, Virginia, the Virgin Islands, Texas, Nicaragua, and many, many other places. Some even come from Canada, but he called us all individually nonetheless. They were pastors, they were bishops, they were lay pastors, they were educators, they were lawyers, and then there was just plain common folk, each called by Christ to do God's work. Truly, it's an amazing experience and proof that Jesus doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. The same was true for the original 12 disciples, and the same is true for us. Jesus calls us, yes, even you, to do God's work for the glory of God. And thanks be to God that he would choose us, you and yes, even me. Jesus called the 12 and he gave them authority over demons, the power to cast them out, and the ability to cure every sickness and every disease. He then gave them this charge: proclaim the good news, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Then he told them, you received without payment, so now you are to give without payment. And Jesus sent them out to travel from town to town. He advised them to only go to the Israelites and not to the Gentiles or to the Samaritans. He told them that the Israelites were lost sheep and in need of a shepherd. Jesus told them to bless each village they entered, and he told them not to pack stuff to take with them, but to rely on it being provided for you. He told them that if a town or a particular village doesn't treat you well, then take back your blessing and shake the dust off of your shoes. In other words, do not carry any of their negativity with you. Rather, leave it behind and simply move forward, because the mission continues. Then he says, I am sending you out as sheep into the midst of wolves. Be wise like the serpents, and be as innocent as doves. Can you imagine how those disciples felt? Can you imagine the fear and the doubt that certainly had to have crossed their minds, and yet Jesus called them. He called them to work, and he called them into shark-infested waters, and he asked them to face it boldly, with faith. They say that history repeats itself, and for us and for our calling, this day it is still true. We also are called by Christ to save the lost. Despite any adversity that we may face, we are simply continue to be called. Our calling may not be so intense. We may or may not be called to cast out demons. We may or may not be called to cure all diseases and sicknesses. We may or may not be asked to travel from town to town. We are, however, called by Christ. Jesus calls each one of us by name and are given some specific duties. We are called to be disciples. We are called to help the lowly. We are called to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, calm the fears of those that are in distress. We are called to be the hands and feet of Christ at all times and in all places. We are called to share the good news of Jesus. We are called to build the church. We are called to go to the ends of the earth, baptizing the lost sheep in the name of the Father and in the Son and in the Holy Ghost. Well, how do you do that? Actually, it's pretty simple. Now, you can't just walk into the grocery store and say to a stranger, "You there, do you have a church? No good, come with me. You can come to mine." Because it doesn't work like that. You have to do it in small increments, little small baby steps, like this. Make a friend. Be a friend. Bring that friend to Christ. Talk to God about your friend before you talk to your friend about God. When you do talk to your friend, remember the words that Paul wrote for us. Tell them all about the good things, but also boast in the sufferings. Tell them both the good and the bad, for none of us are perfect, but yet Jesus still calls us. And he calls us anyway because he believes in us. And believe me, he knows your shortfalls before he calls you, and he factored that in, and he calls you anyway. And in being a disciple of Christ, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. You are a disciple of Christ, called by name, given the task of sharing Christ with the world around you. Do not say, "I'm too old, I'm too tired, well, I did that when I was younger, well, I'm too busy." Just say yes. Yes, Lord, I will go. Send me. God is not finished with you. You can always help. You can help plan things. You can help organize things. You can make phone calls. You can share ideas. The world can take your hearing. The world can take your arms, your legs, your vision, your mouth. They can take all these things for you, and yet you can still pray. Where there is a will, there is a way. Make a way. Be the way. Exemplify the way. Christ has called you, and Christ is counting on you. Will you now answer his call? Amen. As we stand, we sing our closing hymn, hymn 582, and we will sing verses 1, 3, and 5. Peace, serve the Lord, and know that Christ is counting on you. Amen.